You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
If you want to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you're visiting with us today, maybe you don't have a Bible, you can probably find a Bible in front of you or in a chair around you. And we'll be in the letter of 1 Peter, which is near the end of the New Testament, which is near the end of your Bible, and you can figure out where that is and table of contents, maybe a friend beside you will help you out as well. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. I have no message apart from God's book, so we're just going to be starting at one of the verses and we're going to go until we're done. So it was Jesus who said this, and this is really the essence of our entire message today. Jesus said this: "It is more blessed to give than receive. It is more blessed to give than receive." Jesus also said this: "The Son of Man," referring to himself, of course, "came not to be served, but to serve." Jesus also said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." All these verses point to the thesis of our time together as we start to address the power of give time today, and our thesis for today is this: if I am called to follow Christ, if I'm alive in Jesus Christ and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then 100%, here it is, I am called to give of self. There are no exceptions to this, zero, in the history of the world for those people who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unquestionably, irrefutably, if you're a follower of Christ genuinely, then you are called, as I am, to give of self, again, for the love of Christ and for the love of others as well. So that's why then the 5G life must include give time. Absolutely essential. The 5G life includes give time. Another verse which means so much to me and I want to mean to you is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2 verse 8, Paul explains that we are not saved by works. Some of you are here today, you're new to church. Some of you are here today and maybe never been to church. Some of you are here today and you believe if I'm a good person, I get to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is not what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that we are saved by grace. Grace is what we don't deserve. Grace is a gift. Grace is given by God alone. Grace is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. By grace, you've been saved through faith. You believe in Jesus, died for your sins. You believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, lived a perfect life, again, died for our sins, rose from the dead. How do you get saved and go to heaven? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the answer to every person who ever lived. He's the answer to pain and misery. He's the answer to sin and heartache and sorrow. He's the answer to hell. He's the answer to death. Jesus Christ is life Himself. "For by grace you've been saved through faith." The Bible goes on to say in verse 9 of Ephesians 2, and this is not your own doing. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. You can't earn it. You can't do enough to grant anything. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We must receive the gift. Verse 10 is where I want to go, which really, really blesses me so much. So Jesus Christ saves us as we believe in Him and receive the gift of everlasting life, not by works, but by faith. Verse 10 says this: "For we are God's workmanship." Think about that for a second. We are God's workmanship, created, this is amazing too, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Wow, that is amazing to me. So you think about this theology unpacking for us. If we're alive in Christ because we've been saved by grace in Jesus Christ, placing our faith in Jesus Christ, then we have been born again in Jesus Christ, and then we learn we are the workmanship of God, the masterpiece of God. We have been created in Christ Jesus, what? For good works now. Our salvation leads us now to bear fruit again for the Lord. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, listen, which God prepared beforehand. Wow, that blows my mind. Everyone here right now, alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has saved you by His Son, and He has created you, listen, He has created you to bear fruit through you. No exceptions, every single person alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been created in Christ Jesus, again, for good works. That is exciting. You are the workmanship of God. So this is where give time is so essential and give time is so exciting. Let's just remind ourselves of where we've been again within this series so far. The five G's we have right here, we see God time and gather time and group time. We've been through that. And today we see give time. And give time is a resolve to steward the gifts. Man, I love that theological word. We'll get to that in a few minutes. To steward the gifts that God has entrusted to me. So this is where we land today. Again, fired up about it in our passage. Let's go to our 5G tree life slide. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm going through withdrawal. So this is really good here. Let's get this back on. We see that the 5G life is both logical and biblical as well. Biblical and logical. God time are the roots. We find the vitality and sap and juice from God filling our lives. Gather time right now, the trunk forming. And then we see group time, some of the major branches extending as we see strength in our lives. And now we see give time is the major branches where fruit begins to start to be seen and leading up to go time, which we'll tackle again, Lord willing, next week. Again, 5G life is very biblical. The 5G life is also logical in sequence as well. So today, 1 Peter chapter 4, take a look at verse 7. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Love this text so much. God help us. God lead us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Peter starts off with this in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Wow. Therefore, because of this reality, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, so important here. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Amen. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Listen, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Do you want to add to that? Amen. Right there in the text, amen. So such a great text, so much to chew on as it relates here to give time. So let's start here. We have four main observations or truths as it relates to give time from our text. Give time, we'll frame it this way. Give time means this. Number one, I will wake up with urgency. If I understand give time, this means I will wake up spiritually with urgency. Again, look at verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, because of that truth, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. So once again, church, once again, the Bible is calling us to perspective. Man, I love this verse so much. I love these phrases so much. It should really get our attention. The end of all things is at hand. Now, what's Peter saying right here? This is not a statement of doom and gloom by Peter. This is not a statement, the end of all things is at hand, run for your life, save yourself. That's not what happened here. This is rather a statement of urgency and preparation. It's a statement not necessarily about termination or cessation, but rather it's a statement of fulfillment and consummation. The phrase at hand there means it's approaching, it's coming, get ready, be prepared, keep your eyes open. This is what Peter is saying. The end of all things is at hand. Really, it's a wonderful statement of expectancy. Man, I love biblical expectancy. I love these passages that keep reminding us of the reality of why we live. Listen, you, me, right now, alive in Jesus Christ, one of the foremost realities of New Testament Christianity is live with expectation, live with urgency, live with sobriety, be ready, be expectant, don't live for the world, live for, again, the things of Jesus Christ. And specifically, notice, be expectant for what? Well, the text says, the end of all things. What does that mean? The return of Jesus Christ. Be expectant, live in light that at any moment Jesus Christ can return. The end of all things is at hand. Loved ones, the Holy Spirit is telling us there's no time to waste. We must live with urgency and sobriety. The end of all things is at hand. Listen, the Bible tells us again that Jesus is waiting at the door of heaven to return. He is waiting for his Father to give the command. Father, is it now? Is it now? He is waiting, standing at the door. And the Father very soon will say, Son, it is time, go. And he will return to judge the living and the dead. And he will gather all those who belong to him, Jesus Christ and his church. And all those who do not belong to him, they will find themselves in a state of absolute, again, desperation, terror, and death. The end of all things is at hand, a massive reality, again, for us who claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm overwhelmed at how much the Bible teaches us and explains us and exhorts us to live with this type of expectancy. It's like everywhere in Scripture, understanding our life is a mist and a vapor, understanding that we are nothing, our life is so short, the brevity, again, of our lives, understanding to seek first the kingdom, understanding that we are to see our citizenship is in heaven, and understanding that we should count all things as loss, understanding that we should look again and anticipate the glory that awaits us, and to fight the good fight, to receive the crown of righteousness that will be awarded to us on that day. Jesus Christ is coming soon. We must live in light of this reality. The expectation, the anticipation, the power, it is so right. And this is the expectancy that kills the apathy that brings so many people down as well. So notice the result. Peter says, hey, here. He's like, the end of all things is at hand. Because of this, look at verse 7. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded. Those two terms are really synonymous. They can be taken together. Peter's exhorting his readers here, be mentally and spiritually alert. He's like, wake up spiritually. Don't fall asleep. Keep your mind in a right place. Think properly. Discipline your mind to be under control as to what matters and what doesn't. Live with spiritual importance and reality. And we think about this too. Why are commands like this, the end of all things, they had to be self-controlled and sober-minded? Why is there so much real estate of such exhortations in the New Testament? Remember, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He used human authors to do it. But the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. That's why the Bible is God's inerrant, sufficient, again, inspired word of God. And so many times, the Holy Spirit is telling us, live with sobriety, live sober-mindedly, live again with self-controlled, allowing your minds to be ready. Why would he do that over and over and over again? The answer is because he knows how much we need to hear it. He knows how often we'll be lulled to sleep with the things of the world. He knows how often we will succumb to the... Remember, Satan is really, really good at putting people to sleep. Satan will get any person he can in the temptation of their own flesh, and he will sing you a lullaby of whatever it takes to get you to nod off and snooze and fade off and forget the realities of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is a master at doing such things. Many people, maybe even here right now, Satan right now has you in the lullaby, the love of money. And he's like, go to sleep, love money and die. This way, this is a serious, serious thing. We're doing a little bit of laughter. It's not funny though, is it at all? Like how many people are completely spiritually oblivious and blind because they love money so much? The lullaby of entertainment. He doesn't care what you focus on as long as it's on Jesus Christ. Any form, lullaby, fall to sleep with your obsession with entertainment and social media, whatever it might be, and just whatever, anything but the kingdom of God. The lullaby of comfort. Oh, go to sleep. Fall to sleep as you pursue comfort and ease and leisure and self and nodding off into oblivion, forgetting about the reality and the urgency of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lullaby of idolatry. Worship anything but Jesus. And how many people are fast, some, even here right now, currently sucking on the soother of self-indulgence, quickly finding themselves, again, eyes shut spiritually, completely unaware of what life is really about and the urgency to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why the Lord says, he said, Jesus himself, wake up, wake up. I mean, the Bible literally says, wake up from your drunken stupor. Jesus, keep your lamps burning. Be ready, be watchful, take care, be vigilant. All the time the Bible's saying this because of this danger of allowing ourselves to grow numb again to the things that matter, to fall asleep to those things that are most important. So right here we see again, and I love it so much. You can tell I get kind of excited about this. I mean, this is so utterly important. Apathy, one of the huge, massive diseases in the church. This is why. I love this quote I read this week. It says this, expectant looking is the antidote for apathetic living. Expectant looking. Be self-controlled, sober-minded, watch, be ready. Don't fall asleep. Again, keep oil in the lamp. Keep it burning, because at any moment, Christ could return. And the only thing that matters when Christ returns is what we've done for him and who we are in him. The only thing that matters. That's it. Any moment. Those who have been most used in the present are those who are most aware of what's going to come in the future. God help us. God help us to see that give time begins in this reality as well. So our text says, be self-controlled and sober-minded. Notice what it says next. See it there. Verse 7. Don't look at me. Look at the text. It says, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Interesting, isn't it? So what are we learning here? When we are awakened to our spiritual reality, then the more we are aware of our spiritual dependency. Why don't we pray more? Maybe it's because we're not alert. Maybe it's because we're not aware of the urgency of which we live. Maybe it's because we forget that our life is short, we are a mist and a vapor. Maybe it's because our eyes are off of the kingdom of God. Because what the Bible is teaching us here, when we are awake with urgency, then we will grow in spiritual dependency. I love sequences in Scripture. Look at the sequence we see here in verse 7 and 8. What's happening here? Look at. When I'm spiritually alert, then I'm spiritually urgent. When I have spiritual urgency, that leads to spiritual dependency, which is prayer. You, in many ways, you can't stop this. Wake up. You feel the urgency. Your spiritual heartbeat's beating fast. You're ready, man. The adrenaline's pumping. When that happens, then the spiritual dependency kicks in because I must pray. See, this is why as a church, our prayer meetings must be full. They must be full because it proves this and this. Now, I'm so thankful for how many hundreds of you come out to our prayer meetings, but more and more and more. One of the realities, one of the barometers of how we are doing in terms of alertness and urgency will be how much we place on prayer. For the sake of your prayers, when you sense it, when we look around, we see it any moment, man, it heightens our spiritual realities and we start prioritizing the things that matter most to Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and that begins with prayer too. And we see again what I just mentioned. Isn't it interesting that Peter wrote this? Because Peter was the one in the Garden of Gethsemane who could not stay awake, who fell asleep when Jesus says, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. Could you not stay awake for 1 hour, Peter? Peter's the one writing this. You don't think this is flowing through his mind? He understands the alertness, the urgency, and the dependency that leads to prayer. Give time means I will wake up. I mean, it just has to be. Give time starts with, I will wake up with urgency. Give time, number two, means this, I will love earnestly. I will love others earnestly. Look at verse 8 now. Verse 8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So it's hard not to notice where verse 8 starts with, right? Verse 8 starts with, above all, above all. That reminds us of 1 Corinthians 13. For the greatest of these is love. Yes, love. Notice verse 8. Keep, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. So the important word there is earnestly. What does earnestly mean here in the original? It means to be stretched out. It speaks of intense strain. This word was used as a medical term describing stretching a muscle to its limits. Love one another earnestly to the point that it's painful at times. There's a stretching. Isn't that so true? Like true biblical love is not easy. It is hard work, and it is painful at times. True biblical agape love is not based on feelings. It's based on a choice. It's the will to love. The will to love involves strain. The will to love involves stretching. The will to love involves an earnestness, again, within our lives. But the biblical love of agape love here, loving earnestly, is absolutely essential. Because look at the power of what this kind of love does, verse 8. Look at. Love one another earnestly since, here's the result, since love covers a multitude of sins. Wow. What does that mean that love, our love for one another, covers a multitude of sins? It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that we condone the sin of others. It doesn't mean that the person who sinned against us is not responsible for their sin. But what it does mean is earnest, agape, biblical love is so powerful that we choose to extend grace and cover up as opposed to continually holding that person in bitterness and unforgiveness for the way that maybe we've been sinned against. We've taught this for many, many years too, is how do I know when I've truly forgiven someone? What are the signs in my life when I've extended grace over someone else when I've been sinned? What is earnest love? How do I know when that's taking place? Three things will happen as you discover that you've truly forgiven someone and covered love with grace upon their lives. Number one, I won't bring it up to the other person. I won't bring their sin up to the other person. Number two, I won't bring up that situation to others. And thirdly, I will not bring it up to myself. You know you've truly forgiven someone and you've covered a multitude of sins when I do not bring it up to the individual who offended me. I won't bring it up to others trying to create some kind of like negative attitude toward them, and I will not bring it up to myself either. That is a sign that the power of biblical love has covered with grace a multitude of sins. Biblical love here, you can see it as described as a shock absorber. Earnest love. When people sin against us, there's irritants coming at us, just like a good shock absorbs the bump or the irritant and smooths it out. That's what biblical love does. It serves as a shock absorber within our lives when normally we would be so offended or filled with resentment or bitterness. Powerful, powerful give. So much of give time is love. The foundation of give time is love. Earnest love here by the Holy Spirit again through our lives. Notice in verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Where there's a love, there's a hospitality that comes from our lives. Notice it says, without grumbling. Some just grumbled. In Peter's day, lodging could be rarely afforded. So hospitality for the Christian church was absolutely essential. But this, of course, is beyond that, is a call in general here. Our lives and homes to be open with loving hospitality. Again, I find it so interesting as the Holy Spirit wrote through Peter here, show hospitality and do this without grumbling. The Holy Spirit's anticipating an attitude check. He's anticipating our resistance to love in this way. He's anticipating that we will grumble and complain as we are called again to be hospitable to others. Why is this so important? When we grumble about loving, we're essentially complaining against God. Our loving becomes hypocritical. Our love is hypocritical. The way that we've been loved by God, and then we grumble when we have to love others in a similar way, being hospitable with our lives. We grumble, therefore defeating the entire purpose. We've been so loved by God, we receive His love, and we seek to love others again from our lives. I love that Peter includes that here. Be hospitable to each other without grumbling. See, where do I start? Where do I start in terms of this kind of love being seen through my life? I think a few things we can say practically right here. Start by being hospitable at church. Start by being hospitable right here at church. I love the goal. Every time we enter into a church gathering, I'm seeking to be hospitable in spirit and love to one person. One person. Every time you enter into this building, seek to come in and to love one person. Encourage them, pray for them, bless them, help them, hold a door, practically help someone, again, go up and just try to, maybe someone who's new to the church or someone who looks like they don't really know where they're going, or you can just tell that they're here by themselves. But just, I guess, if all of us had one person seek to be hospitable in spirit and love as we came into this church, how powerful that would be. Hospitable at church, obviously, seek to be hospitable with your home, inviting people that we don't know well to our homes. Inviting people to get to know, to love, to engage, to allow them to be there, to encourage them in that way. Obviously, that's included right here as well. To be hospitable in our hearts overall, to have a spirit of hospitality as we seek to love others. Now, here's what I know to be true, and of course, something we would all struggle from time to time. Right now, there are some of us, I mean, if we're just honest with ourselves, this is not what we want to do. Our hearts are not in the place where we desire to be hospitable, we desire to be selfish. We desire to not do this. And that's where we have to consider, like, the Lord sees everything. He knows. You can't hide from Him. Say, Lord, I want You to change my heart in this regard. I don't want to grumble about this. Would you give me a heart that wants to love? Would You fill me more with Your love, Lord, so then I can be filled with the spirit of generosity and love and care for those around me, that I do want to come into church and love others. I do want to open our home and love others. That I do want to have a heart that is changed according to Your will right here in this passage, because I want to be someone who's been loved by God and then gives of myself to other people. I think that's a prayer the Lord wants to answer. I mean, He's very clear in this text. This is what He wants us to be. So, Lord, would You change my heart to be one that is exercised in love increasingly from my life? Again, notice this. Love is the foundation for the 5G life. Love God, abide time, love God, and then here we go, love His church, and love others. Two greatest commandments fulfilled all throughout the 5G life. Give time means I will wake up with urgency. I will love others earnestly. Thirdly, this is one of the heart of our message here, I will steward God's grace accordingly. More outstanding verses here on give time. Look at verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Man, I love this here. Look at this. As good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So, are you here right now and you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? If you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are four very, very important truths that you need to hear in terms of how God has gifted you and has entrusted you with a stewardship. On the screen beside me and behind me, four very important truths here right now. Number one is this. Listen, every believer has at least one gift. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has received at least one supernatural spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit, again, within your life. Right there in the text, as each believer has received a gift. So think about that. This encourages me so much. God Almighty, in his sovereignty, has entrusted us with at least one spiritual gift. Not a natural gift, a spiritual gift only given by the Holy Spirit at conversion or salvation. Many of us have a cluster of spiritual gifts. Many of us have more than one. All of us have at least one spiritual gift. Again, they are not natural, they are supernatural, given at conversion. We need to discover our gifts. You know what your spiritual gift is. We need to do that. We discover them as we use ourselves again to serve within the church. We desire to be used as God's instrument. The key, though, is our heart. Where are our hearts at? Do we desire to be used in this way? So key, every believer here right now, alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. Secondly, we learn this in verse 10. Our gifts are to serve each other. It says right there, use it to serve one another. So again, watch this. We are not terminals of God's gifting. We don't receive God's gift and just hoard it and let it sit there and just kind of admire it and do nothing with it. Rather, we are to be not terminals, but channels of God's gift. We receive the gift from God that it might be channeled through our lives in the loving and building up and serving specifically of one another in the church. So that is beautiful. That is very, very clear. A spiritual gift is never to be used to promote self. It's always to be used to build up the church. So again, I love bottom lines. It's so important for us to see that and to recognize it right now. Here's one of the bottom lines right now, okay? You're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without a question, 100% right now. God has gifted you to use you. You got to receive that right now. You're alive in Jesus Christ. You're born again. God has gifted you not for you to sit there and do nothing, not to be on the couch like a sloth. He has gifted you to use you. Like every person here alive in Jesus Christ, not like, well, not me. No, yes, you. If you're alive in Jesus Christ, you have given a supernatural spiritual gift from the Lord, and he has given that to you to be used. It's exciting. It's exciting. Not just for Pastor Boy or the elder over there or the other people that are leading. No, every person alive in Jesus has a gift that needs to be stewarded. And that leads us to our third observation from, again, verse 10. We are called to steward our gifts. I love that theological principle of stewardship. I love it. It says right there, as good stewards of God's varied grace. What does it mean to be a steward? It's a word that's not used a ton. I love it when it is. It's used in the Bible a lot. To be a steward means you're not an owner. You're a manager. When someone stewards something, they have been entrusted with a resource. They've been entrusted with a responsibility. They've been entrusted with an authority. It's not theirs ultimately. The master has entrusted them with his resources. They are to steward it while he is gone, to manage it well. You think of all the different parables that are aligned with this concept of stewardship, how New Testament theology and how New Testament, again, biblical instruction is filled with this concept of stewardship. But we got to remember, we're not owners. We're stewards. So many examples of this. Obviously, in this context here, we've been entrusted with a spiritual gift given by God to steward while he has gone, when he returns to say, I have not buried it in the ground. I've multiplied it. I've used it to build up your church and bless others. Another huge biblical idea of stewardship is the use of money. Man, this is so hard for many people because we just love money too much. That's why Jesus speaks of money more than heaven and hell combined. Because he knows where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Some of you maybe aren't familiar with that. Jesus says very clearly and carefully, where your treasure is, that's your heart. If your treasure is money, your heart's in money. If your treasure is in the kingdom, then your heart's with the kingdom of God. So listen. When it comes to financial resources, Christians mature in Christ know that it's not theirs at the end of the day. We are stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us. Everything down from the milk in the fridge to your biggest paycheck you've ever gotten, it's all God's. It's all grace. We are stewards of what he's entrusted to us. And we are to use it ultimately for the building of the kingdom of God. For when Jesus Christ returns, then we will be held to account of what we've done. Again, the parables of the minas in the Gospels, where he entrusts the steward with 2, 5, and 10. And what they do with that is so determined, again, of the reward when Jesus returns. Massively important stuff. That's why, again, listen. I never shy away from saying this stuff when it comes to money, because like this for so many people, this is the issue. And I get excited about poking the bear. I do. This is not a popularity contest up here, trust me. If I thought it was a popularity contest, I'd be dead a long time ago. Okay? But I love going after the heart. And so does Jesus. And so listen, if we're not converted in our wallets, we have to check our heart if we're converted at all. Because where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. But I love the concept of stewardship. He's entrusted us with a spiritual gift. He's entrusted us with resources, and we get to steward this for his glory. We get to use this again. That will be the greatest blessing for his church. That is very, very exciting. Notice also in verse 10, we steward what is God's grace, right? So it's not like we deserve it. It's grace. There's that word again. It's getting what we don't deserve. He's like, Robbie, you don't deserve this. I'm entrusting you with this grace. I'm entrusting you with this resource. I'm entrusting you with this opportunity. And you're like, wow, man, I don't deserve it. That's awesome. I got to treat this so well because I can't boast about it. Can you boast about your eye color? No. You can't boast about your spiritual gift. It's what God has decided according to his sovereignty. It's all grace. And so we're like, wow, that humbles me. This is exciting. And notice we learn here too, serving results in blessing. If you are stewarding God's gift that he's entrusted to you, obviously that's God's will. And God's will is always going to result in God's blessing. So when we use our gift to build up the church and love others, we will be blessed because we are in God's will, 100% guaranteed. Let's flip that though, okay? And another bottom line, Pastor Robbie loves bottom lines, okay? Let's understand this. If we are failing to use our gift for the Lord in his church, we are outside of God's will. If we are outside of God's will, we are forfeiting his blessing on some level. 100% that is true. 100%. If you are not stewarding his gift he's entrusted to you, we are forfeiting the blessing of God in our lives in somehow, in some way. There's no wiggle room for this today. Everyone who's alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been entrusted with a spiritual gift. God says, I want to use it through your life. Every single person, I will bless you as you do. This is my will for your life. So will he find us as obedient children? Again, if we fail to steward the gift he's entrusted to us, then we will lose every single time. Give time is 100% God's will, again, for our lives. We just got to receive that. We got to accept that. We can't argue with Scripture. It's right here. It's so clear. It's so exciting, I hope. We are called to steward our gifts. Fourthly, we are to use our gifts in the strength of God. Use our gifts in the strength of God. We have two very broad categories in the first half of verse 11. Whoever speaks and whoever serves. Oracles of God is the truth of God. Notice, whoever speaks, broad category. Not just preaching right now. Any type of speech activity for the Lord and again for his truth. So it could be preaching and teaching, absolutely. But it could also be evangelism. It could be Again, it could be preaching or prophesying, as we understand what that means, a supernatural thing that God imparts, again, something we could not have known, but even a word of exhortation or encouragement for someone as well. It could be singing, Bible study, all these different, whoever speaks, how God has entrusted us to do so, and then whoever serves, very broad term as well. One commentator describes it as including any kind of helping or encouraging ministry for the benefit of others in the church and the benefit of others outside the church. Whoever speaks, whoever serves, but notice it says there, in the strength that God supplies. Man, that's so good, and that is so true. So listen, natural gifts, world natural gifts require natural strength. Supernatural gifts require supernatural strength. We need the Lord so much, church. Amen? We need the Lord so much. I like being vulnerable with you guys. I'm not trying to draw attention to certain aspects. I just want you to know, like, I'm living this out today as we speak. In recent weeks, I've really struggled with, when I say these things too, I don't want every remedy everyone's ever thought of for certain things, okay, whatever, I'm just thankful for the care, In recent weeks, I've really struggled with forms of insomnia. And it's starting to get problematic. Like last night, I go to bed early and I'm lying there for like hours and hours. Eventually, I said, enough of this. I got on the couch. I'm just sitting there. And like, Lord, you know I need to preach 3 times a day. And you know if I don't sleep, man, I'm dead. Like I can't survive without a certain, you know, amount of sleep of some kind, whatever. And you're just sitting there and you're just like, I woke up this morning and I was grumpy. And I'm frustrated. There's so much I have to do before I get all this stuff. And just like, I don't know what's going on. And then the last several days, kind of weird episodes of just significant dizziness and feeling unstable and wondering if I'm going to fall at certain points of the day. And all that. Should you go to the hospital? I don't know, man. And just, anyways, figure it maybe vertical. I don't know. And just, these are my last 4 or 5 days. And so I come up this morning, I'm just like, you know, I say to the elders, like, guys, listen, I'm not doing great. And you know, like I just be honest, I just need the Lord, and like, you know, it was you just feel so weak and you feel so needy, and what can you do? And I tell you, like, you call for the prayer and the strength that God asks. And just like, ever since I came this morning, started preaching the first service, man, I'm doing way better than I was again 3 or 4 hours ago. Like, way better. I don't feel dizzy right now, praise God. You know what I mean? Able to see God's grace and humility, whatever it is, and just, man, it just shows how weak we are and how much we need the Lord. That's my whole point. We want to serve the Lord, and we want to keep doing it. We got to depend massively on Him. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So God, help us. We love the Lord. Amen. We love Him so much. We need Him so much. And may our weakness lead to His strength being seen through our lives. And I pray that encourages you to say, man, we're all in it together. We all need Him so much. And so this leads us, even right now, let's ask some questions as it pertains to gift time right now. Gift time right now. First question, this. Just again, basic bottom line stuff. Am I stewarding the gifts that God has given to me? Am I stewarding the gifts? We've asked that 10 times today already. But am I? Because I need to be. 100% God's will, I need to be. Christ follower, you're alive in Jesus Christ. Are you using what He's entrusted to you? Are you using it to build up His church? Second question, who and how can I actively love earnestly today? Today, I emphasize that word today. How can I love earnestly someone today? Who can I love earnestly today? Today, Holy Spirit, lead us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, fill us today and then tomorrow. Who can I love to give of myself? Because Jesus Christ said it's better to give than to receive. That we are called to love each other ultimately as God has loved us, loved Him. Third question, I like this question a lot. Is Hope Oakville stronger because I am here? That's a good question. And I want every person, not those visiting, not those who are kicking the tires, or not those who have no intention of making this church home, but every single person who does call this church home or intends to make this church home, is this church better because you're here? It needs to be. It needs to be. Or do we sit and consume? Do we just make withdrawals and have no deposits? That's outside of God's will. Every single person who calls this church home should be contributing to the greater health and blessing of this church in one way or another, and a massive part of that is give time. A massive part of that is give time. And the last question, are my gifts resulting in self-glory or God's glory? That's going to lead us to our last point here, but just again, are my gifts resulting in greater attention to myself, or are they ultimately being used to see God receiving glory again through my life? And that does take us to our final point today here. It's very important, briefly, but very important. Number four, give time means I will glorify God wholeheartedly. I will glorify God wholeheartedly. The end of verse 11 says this, in order that, okay, so look at that phrase right there, in order that. So everything that's preceded, right? Waking up with urgency, loving others earnestly, stewarding God's grace accordingly, in order that this all happens to result in order that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In everything, that's awesome, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory forever and ever. Amen. The text says right there. So I love, again, the clause is give time results in God's glory. That in everything, God may be glorified through his son, Jesus Christ. So look up here, look up here, look up here. I love this. I just said, I want to say it again. Give time is glory time. Give time is glory time, glory to God time. A failure to be involved in give time is an absence of giving God glory through my life then in one way or another. Give time is give God glory time. Man, that blesses me. So motivated by that. And when we're used of the Lord, and yes, is it painful at times? Yes. And is there exhaustion at times? Yes. And is there suffering at times? Yes. Is there opposition to this? Yes. Are there easier things to do? Of course. And yet when we show up, persevere, seek the Lord, and we choose to be used again for him, then we in our lives are giving God glory. 100% that is true. Give time results in the Lord getting glory. So again, in this passage here, not a lot of wiggle room today. It's not like, well, I think that applies to the person over there, but not to me, right? I've said it how many times today. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a true Christ follower, again, of him, then here's what we know. We're all in the same corner together. It's actually a pretty nice corner. Don't be afraid. We're in a corner together. We're like, okay, I've been entrusted with a spiritual gift. I am called to love others. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus Christ has asked me to steward what he's entrusted to me. This is God's will. It results in God's blessing. There's no way I can avoid this. I'm in the corner with you. So what do we do now? What do we do now? Do we try to run and try to hide and somehow try to excuse ourselves? Or do we be like, oh, Lord, you know you're awesome. You're so good. You love me. You've blessed me. You saved me. You have redeemed me. You have gifted me. And now you want to use me? And I'm like, I'm in. I'm in. Yes, Lord, may it be so. I want to give you glory through my life. So, very clear today, I pray. Very clear. What do we do? You know, it's clear what we do. We get in the game. Hey, by the way, just start anywhere. You don't have to have like the exact bullseye of your exact, again, the only ministry I want to be a part of with this exact use of whatever and this exact time and only on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. to 6:45. No. Just start anywhere. Start anywhere. I've always said, man, if I didn't have to preach every Sunday, I'd be in the parking lot. I would. And we need people in the parking lot for the right spiritual vision and desire to love others as they enter in as part of the whole process. You're like, really? I mean that. Start somewhere. And as you start serving, other people will notice, hey, when you did that, and I saw God using you, and you start to see your spiritual gifts being affirmed, because that's what the body does, what the Holy Spirit does too. And you get encouraged, and then you want to keep going. And we love each other in the process. God help us. Amen, church? God help us. All right, let's pray. Father, do help us now. Holy Spirit, what an important time. What an important time for many. Love this church. I love these people so much. And I pray that you will be so clear with each of us as individuals and then members of one another. Oh, Lord, you have given us a stewardship. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus, you will return at any moment. Oh, wow, life is short. Help us to not waste our time. This whole series is making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Time. So much of life is how we use our time. And today's give time. So, Lord, I pray there's not a sense of guilt at all, but I pray there's conviction. Oh, I love conviction. I need it in my life, and and my brothers and sisters need it in theirs. So I pray even now, Lord, Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, as we sing this song, I pray the word give just pops in this song, the word give. Yes, Lord, I give you my heart. I pray that that would be a spiritual response. Lord, I give you my heart. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.